The reading is from Mark chapter 6.
We're beginning at verse 45. And we come into the narrative just after Jesus has fed the 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars, because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed.
Shall we return to Mark 6 and two well-known parables, Christ feeding the 5,000 and Christ walking on water. Am I pressing the right one on the right? Is there, is it? Oh, it's not you. I can't see it there. I got too far, am I? Yeah. Okay, I can't see it there. I brought this sign forward because while I sat here, I was thinking Christ's glory will be declared amongst the nations. It's a matter of where we participate in the declaration. And my passion today is to engage with you and inquire and ask whether you are up for it to declare his glory. There's no doubt Christ will reign. There's no doubt every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. There's no doubt that Christ is victorious. Right? Do you believe that? Yes. We believe it theologically. We believe in providence. We believe in the end game, which is Christ, new heaven and new earth. Okay? That's what we believe theologically. But are we up to declare his glory amongst the nations? And that's why I want to ask you this morning and this evening, if you're back tonight, is whether you're up to be part of his success, because he will succeed. Wales do not succeed in rugby all the time. And I hate it when we lose, you know. When I used to come down to watch Wales and then travel back to 4 hours, it was a depressing Sunday, I tell you that. When England are doing well, it's worse, you know. But we don't discuss rugby today. So we're not sure of some things. There's insecurity, but Christ will rule. Okay? And there will be success. Whether we're part of that or not. And that's my driving point. What I want really to impress on you, Christ is amazing. We are celebrating 300 years since the birth of William Pantakelin. And you know what Williams did? He said, we have to fall in love with Jesus. All the time. And everything Williams wrote and did, all the societies, was passionately in love with Jesus. He was amazed. And if you read his hymns, and we'll sing them tonight, you will be touched by how amazing Jesus is. They were amazed. And we need to be amazed. We need to be amazed with Jesus, not so much for his gifts to us, but for who he is. Right? He's not a slot machine. He's not there for you to use for grace or forgiveness or answers to prayer. He is in himself lovely. He is amazing. They were amazed. And sometimes we kind of regard Jesus in terms of he's available. He's there for me when I need him. But am I in love with him? Do I kind of can't stop praising him? Do I worship him? Is he amazing? If he's amazing, you'll tell people about him. You know, I'm thrilled with mountains and Snowdonia, and I just can't stop sharing pictures of Snowdonia. I can't stop. Or other things, I enjoy meeting people and seeing people. I kind of want to share what I see. I enjoy things and I share it. Well, if you're in love with Jesus, what do? You tell people about him. And if you're going to be part of this declaring the glory, his glory, we have to be passionately in love with Jesus. Doesn't matter how we feel, he has to be number one. They were completely amazed. But to be true, they weren't amazed when they saw this kind of ghost figure. And I want to touch those here this morning who kind of want to be amazed but are not. And you just don't see Christ clearly. And you're in a mess. And you're like the psalmist with doubts. And there are times in all our lives, and that's why the book of Psalms is a reality check, when we are down and we're in valleys and we have questions and there's hard providences and there's difficulties which we face. And we don't see Christ clearly. Please don't be hard with yourself then. Don't blame yourself when Christ isn't that amazing for you at every particular minute, at every particular hour. Because he will test you. He will drive you through difficult things. Because the father who disciplines his children, that's difficult. And God has to deal with us. And there are things he has to draw out in us. And there will be times when we won't see Christ clearly. We have to evangelize every day. That's our calling. Go out into all the world. But we're not switched on. I remember Packer said to me once, when I was young, well, I couldn't understand the Psalms. You know, I was an Englishman. And all this kind of passion, he said. I said, listen, sir, Packer, I said, he was Welsh. He was a Celt. So the psalmist was kind of in there. And he's kind of honest, isn't he? The psalmist saying, where are you? Or why is this happening? Now, J.I. Packer was a gentleman. And he said, well, the way into the Psalms was to read them like the prayers of Christ. Now, there was one verse usually which unpacked the psalm and he was in. But I love the fact that the psalmist has doubts and questions. And there are times in my ministry, 37 years on Anglesey, I have had questions which were not answerable quickly, simply. That's what they saw. But what's really striking, and some commentators can't cope with this verse. Just imagine you're broken down like Die Hankey this morning and no tyre in the car. He rang Andrew. Andrew fixed the tyres, so gave him another car. But just imagine you're on the M4, you're broken down, and Dave waves at you. Right? You've broken down, you're on the M4, and big smile. England won today, you know. That kind of smile, you know. I won't have it in, I won't mention it. No. But how do you feel? Right? He saw his disciples straining at the oars. That's where we are with evangelism. And Christ kind of walked on the water. That was a miracle. He wasn't surfing, okay? Walking on the water. And then, this is the problem for the commentators. It's a bit discourteous. He's saying, He's going to pass by them. And there are Christians who feel that they've lost their chance. What can Christ do with me? I failed. I don't pray very well. Last time I evangelized wasn't this year. And what good am I? And you might feel this morning, I hope this Sunday about mission will pass quickly because I want to go back to other things. I don't want to be pricked my conscience because I'm a failure. Wales suffers from the plague of poverty of aspiration. And that's huge for Wales. As a nation, we haven't got leaders who aspire to change. And the church is plagued by Christians who are conscientiously broken-hearted because they haven't seen success. And they prayed for their children or their spouse or their neighbours and they haven't seen success. Conversions are few and far between. And then you put yourself on the rubbish heap. And you think, well, I'm failed. You might look as if you're, you know, faithful, but in your heart you've given up. You're not really praying for your husband anymore or your child. You've given up. And you think, well, the blessing has passed me by. Young people and other people are gifted. I'm not. Christ believes in recycling bad Christians. You need to be recycled. And he can do that. And he wants to touch you today where you need to be renewed. And the whole thing of passing by was this. You just look up in the sky and you see a shooting star. What do you see? Wow. When you look up on Anglesey, where William and Kate lived, and he trained in RAF Valley, we have the Red Arrows, and I stand there sometimes and I say, wow, when they fly by. Duke Edinburgh came to Anglesey about 30 years ago to see an armada of ships off Moylvra. They were all lined up. There were hundreds of them. It was majestic. But when he came, he was all mist. He didn't see nothing. But it's amazing, okay? And the picture is Christ is on a mission. You know, come on, boys, get out of that boat. I got an engagement. I'm going somewhere. Right? You're stuck in the boat and you're in a storm. Okay, it's a bit wet and you had your doubts. I'm up there praying. Okay, I understand the psychology of you feeling your failures and you're useless, but get out, get on with it. I'm on the move. I'm on a mission. And it's a bit beautiful picture of Christ engaging with them and telling them, listen, come on. Get out of that boat. Believe in me. Don't look back and don't pout and don't feel that you're useless. No, I'm on my way to victory. He passed them by, not to dump them, but to recycle them, to encourage them. Look, I can do this. I can walk on the water, but you need to catch me up. You need to catch me up because I'm going somewhere. I have an agenda. You meet busy people, they know exactly where they're going. And they clear the deck because they know what they want to do. And they have priorities. And Christ's priorities was save souls. Christ's priority was the cross. Christ's priority was to raise from the dead the third day. Christ's priority is to reign now on God's right-hand side. That's his priority. That's his business. That's what he's about. And his priority now is to reign with the church on earth to enable us to go and get engaged with his glory amongst the nations. That's his business. Are you up for that? I got some points. First of all, unbelief. I was doing a sermon series through Mark, and somebody's helping me with typing the slides, and she texted me and said, what's this business about the loaves? At the end of the second miracle is, they did not understand about the loaves. And I, to be honest with you, it doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter. But it does. Now, if my father heard me say that, he would have killed me, because my father believed in every yacht and tittle, every word of the Bible was important. And what he means is, the night before, they saw Christ feeding 5,000 men, so there would be 5,000 women and children, 15K, right? Night before. Wasn't that amazing what they witnessed the night before? But then, the storm, they've forgotten about the loaves. And again, this happens. You are inspired, possibly Dave, a sermon or a song or a conference or a book. You get inspired and you engage with God and it fades. You think at the time, I'm gonna change. But you forget about the loaves. We can't live on yesterday's blessings. The manna has to come fresh every day. And we need to be close to Jesus today, not depend on yesterday. And to an extent, as a country, we've remembered our revivals, but we need God now. So unbelief will come in and kind of creep in when we don't engage daily with the Lord Jesus Christ. The other thing I want to share with you is the wisdom of the disciples. They had a committee, and they made a kind of a health and safety assessment of these people who were hanging around. And they decided, send them home. That was they were considered, send the people away. It sounds so reasonable, doesn't it? It sounds so common sense. I was appointed 4 years ago on the Natural Resources Wales board. 185 people applied for the board. I was one of the seven. The chairman asked me, why are you here? Well, you're a minister. Why are you involved with environment? And I said, it's God's world and we're accountable, kind of. We're stewards. And Peter said, I want you on my board. And I was blessed to be on the board for the first 3 years. And part of that was I was health and safety champion for this new environmental board for Wales. And these people who are health and safety conscious, you know, you hear them and they kind of look things differently. And you're in a meeting of Christians and some people have visionaries. Let's change Cardiff. Let's reach out to the students. And then somebody says, well, we've done this before, you know. We've done this before and, you know, let's be wise now. Let's be reasonable. Let's kind of assess this. Let's rein you in. Right? Evan Roberts believed 100,000 would be saved. That was his given vision. 100,000. But somebody would have told Evan, now come on, Evan, go back to the pit. You know, just. And I've heard my own heart say this. And we can kind of minimalize our expectations. And those of you who are older, please don't dampen young people's zeal for Christ. And don't just give them a lot of advice which makes them not love Jesus and share Jesus. Right? If you sense that somebody's young in love with Jesus, you catch up with that person, not dampen them. Because we kind of expect small things. We're a nation of small things. And this is the poverty of our aspiration comes in. We kind of accept, you know, there we are. We shrug our shoulders. That's how it's been. -1% goes to church in Wales. Less than that are evangelicals. It's dire. It's a very sad nation we're part of. And what can you do? And I've sat on committees and committees with the EMW. I've sat with EA and sat with different Wales-wide, different forums. What do you do? What can we do? But don't take a world business view of the kingdom, right? Don't just be rational. And you hear these voices in churches. Yes, but let's cool down here now. This has to be sustainable. Who is this? His glory will be among the nations. Can you control that? Is that to be minimalized? You've planted a church in one part of Cardiff. What about the rest of Cardiff? Where's your vision? No, you are blessed. You are in many ways enabled as a church. But do you have a vision which matches that? His glory amongst the nations. We have to expand. We have to breathe in the glory of God. And believe that he is able to do things beyond our expectations. We always kind of work, you know, we be careful. When Christ walked on the water, Peter went out, didn't he, and walked towards him. Nobody else, other disciples, they stayed in the boat. They were doing their kind of rational things. Let's ask Peter. Christ didn't blame Peter, did he? He went out to meet Christ. Peter walked on the water because he believed Christ. And you need to venture a bit out of your safety zone. Take risks. Why not? We're partnering with the successful Jesus. Or send them home. Send them home. What is Christ's potential? What can he do? If he'd have listened to them, you know, okay, let's disband this crowd, let's send them home, we wouldn't have had this miracle. And sometimes I sense he just accepts our despondency. Okay, Wales, you want to be small, your church, okay, that's how you think. But when Christ comes into the equation, right? What's his potential? Who are you partnering with? Isn't he the one who said, let there be light? And there was light. And the stars lit up. You know, I have no authority here to put the switches off. I got to walk and find the switches. Christ can say, let there be light. And there was an universe of light. We have an amazing Jesus, the head of the church. And he wants to do something big. And we need big visions. We need strong expectations from this person because he is able to succeed. He's done it before. His potential is beyond our comprehension. He took the 5 loaves and the fish. And this is why we say grace. I love this because Christ could have fed without saying grace, but he thanked the Father. He knew the Father and he was in love with his Father. And he wanted to tell his Father, please bless this because I need you, my Father, to bless the fish and the bread. His dependency on his Father within the Trinity shows us our example as Christ's body, our dependency on the Trinity. If he asked permission from his Father to bless the food, you and I need to dedicate everything to him in prayer. He broke the loaves. The other miracle, when he walked on water, some people say, some liberal commentaries, well, he was the first surfer in the world, okay? He found a piece of wood, and there he was, surfing the waves. No. He walked on the water. And what I want to share with you is the potential in your life of Christ making a radical difference. There are places in your life which are out of bounds for you. There are no-go areas. There are issues. Family issues, personal issues, okay? You're embarrassed about. And there are people you can't engage with. And you think, well, I can't commit that to Jesus. I was preaching in Carnarvon a month ago, and I walked into the church, and somebody I knew, and I hadn't seen her for a while, she said, Howell, as a family, you've gone through a lot. I'm one of six children. My mother is still alive, and my father was Elwyn Davis. And as a family, there are a variety of things have happened to us providentially. And I won't share them publicly, but if you knew us, you understand. And she said, how have you kept on going, ministry, for 37 years with different scars and hurt and disappointments? I can tell you, this is true. Christ can walk on water. I can stand here with a smile saying to you, I've seen it in my life, Christ walking on water. And I want to reach out to you and say, whatever you think is not possible with this Jesus, let him walk on water. Let him go to that part of your life you feel is not fixable or blessed or enabled. Let him be Lord there. Don't leave anything in a cupboard. Don't be embarrassed about anything. Bring it to Jesus. And you'll be amazing what he can do. One part of the way Christ works is we have to appreciate what we have. What does that mean? Well, he could have called for the bread from heaven, like manna. He didn't. He said, you give them something to eat. He has miracle working powers. But the pushback on the disciples was, you are part of the answer here. You give them something to eat. Our big method with Tearfund is to enable people to stand up for their own. Not dependency, but enablement. That's the big thing with development. And it's true, as Christians, we have to identify what we should be doing. But we have a devil in our ear and telling us you failed. We have a conscience and we failed. And we think, what have we got to offer? But you know, all he said was, get some bread together, five pieces of bread and some fish. I'm not asking you to get Waitrose and Tesco around you with their vans, okay? Just, what have you got? It's basic. It's just a piece of bread. And we tend to belittle what we have. You know, you have a smile, and that goes far in the conversation when you meet people. You can be courteous, you can be humble, you can listen to people. Do the simple things, St. David would say, simple things. And it's amazing how when we engage with this Christ, with what we have, he can take what we have and multiply it. And one part of your life which is important is your vulnerability. And I have coined the phrase, our vulnerability is our currency. Right? When you're open and honest with people about the fact that you are frail and broken and a sinner, don't be self-righteous. Don't preach at them and don't give them verses and tell them what to do. You be honest with them. You be raw. Obviously, don't draw attention all the time, but don't pretend that being converted means that you're glorified already and all sorted out. Very often when I deal with different people and with different boards I've served and community, it's not so much my strengths and abilities, it's being broken. And I will deal more with this tonight about Christ becoming vulnerable. And he touched us in his vulnerability. When you are open with your vulnerability, people can understand that. They can associate with your weakness. They can't cope with you pointing at them and being judgmental and sorting them out. What does it mean? I love this picture of a window, a mosaic, and the different colours of glasses. In a glass window, you are unique, a unique piece of glass, coloured glass. And only you can glorify Jesus as you. Only you can glorify Jesus as you. You have a role and a beauty about you in Christ. Find that. We need to rest. And we have this picture about the apostles. They were kind of very busy before this miracle. They seen results. They came to him. They were full of their reports. And Christ said, listen, come with me. I want to engage with some of you and tell you, get off your backside and do something. Others here today need to rest more. And the Sabbath is part of God's plan. We need to rest. If that's for you, and as we have Christ, he, between both miracles, he went to pray. Obviously, his eye was on the cross, and he wanted to prepare for the cross. He didn't want to be a Che Guevara of the crowd. He wanted to see the cross clearly. He went to pray. And we can't be part of this unless we're part of this. We can't engage in evangelism unless we're people of prayer. Somebody asked me recently, Sir Oliot asked me, but my father, he said, your father was the most humble man I've ever met, the most godly man. And why was your father godly? And I said, well, he was a man of prayer. We would go to the study and he'd be on his knees. That was part of him. And if we're going to be people who are active in evangelism, we need to be Christ-like in our prayer life. That means it doesn't have to be stuck in a study. It could be out walking when I do, or cycling, or swimming. I pray a lot in the swimming pool, back and forth. Wherever you pray, you kind of engage with God. And I love this bit at the end. I tell you, if I was on that boat, okay, and I came off that boat, I would be on Facebook and Twitter, I was there. Okay? I would be saying, I got the jacket, you know, I survived. That's me. And what does Mark say? They saw Jesus. And Jesus walked around. There's a phrase in the David Morgan revival, God will trust his glory if we don't steal it. And there's a tendency for us to seek success in the gospel work for self-glorification. I'm only a piece of dust. I will go back to the grave. Calvin didn't want a grave to be remembered. He was just a frail man. And if we're in the business of being part of mission for self-glorification to be well known and liked, God will not share his glory with us. You read through to the end as we heard. It's a lovely picture of Christ touching people and healing people. That's what we want. Christ marching through the villages.